Welcome to this week's podcast from Planet Shakers in Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Are you ready for God's word tonight? See, the thing about God's word is always activated through faith. And so we got to come every time the word of God is preached. We got to come with a heart that is open to receive it. And we got to come in agreement with God's word. Amen. So I'm going to ask that you'd open up your heart and partner with this message tonight. Partner with this word. I believe it's a word from God. Let's go in our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to get straight to it tonight. 2 Kings chapter 13. And we're going to be reading from verse 14. If you don't have a Bible with you today, and maybe you left it at home or whatever, you can just grab your iPhone or your smartphone, whatever you have, jump on the iTunes store or Google Play, just type in Planet Shakers in the little search bar, and up will pop the Planet Shakers app, and inside of that is a Bible. Come on, somebody. And you can read along with that. If you can't be bothered typing, because you think the preacher will shout you down because he thinks you're on Facebook, then you can just look on the screen because the scripture's going to be there too. Are you ready for God's word? Let's read 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. 'My father, my father,' he cried, 'the chariots and their horsemen. The horsemen of Israel.'" Verse 15 reads, "Elisha said, 'Get a bow and some arrows.' So he did so. 'Take the bow in your hands,' he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. 'Open the east window,' he said. And he opened it. 'Shoot,' Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. Elisha declared, 'You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek.' Then he said, 'Take some arrows,' and he took them. Elisha told him, 'Strike the ground.' He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, 'You should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times.'" Three times. The title of my subject is probably quite obvious tonight, but I'd love you to write this down. I'd love you to write just that phrase down: strike the ground. Strike the ground. Would you turn to your neighbor and just help this white preacher out and say, strike the ground. Strike the ground. Strike the ground. That's what we're going to do tonight. In a moment, at the conclusion of this message, which won't be too far, because my mission tonight is not to really preach a message, but my mission is to usher us into a place of breakthrough, usher us into a place where we get something in our spirits, you and God, me and God, that say, you know what, no matter where I am and what I'm going through, I'm going to believe God for a breakthrough tonight. Amen? Are you ready for that? I don't know about you, but maybe you're going through something in your life, in your workplace, with your family. You're going through some sort of struggle. You would be an angel if you weren't going through some sort of struggle. And even them, they've got a few battles going on themselves. But friend, I want to tell you tonight, you're going to leave this place with chains broken off your life. You're going to leave this place healed of that disease that you've been carrying around for so long. I said, you're going to leave this place completely set free from the addictions that you've been struggling with for so long. I said, you're going to leave this place and there is going to come an innovative idea in your business, sir, ma'am, that you're going to make happen in your business, and it's going to bring a breakthrough. I said, God is going to bring a breakthrough. breakthrough in your life if you just get with the word of the Lord tonight. I'm not interested in really preaching a nice message. I'm interested in us stepping into a place where we get this breakthrough in our spirit. We get this spirit. We get this attitude in our life that says, God, I'm sick and tired of having opposition in my life, and I'm not going to leave this place until I see a breakthrough happen. We're going to go straight into this word tonight. The Bible tells us that Elisha is approached on his deathbed. Elisha is old. He's been an incredible man of God. In fact, the greeting that the king Jehoash has is the same greeting on Elijah and Elisha's encounter. The last time, maybe the king had heard the stories of Elisha, the young man, approaching Elijah, the current prophet of that time, a man that moved in power, a man that saw incredible things happen in his life. And he greeted him the same way. He said those words. I'm going to just quickly go to it so that I can actually remember it. He said, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. He approaches Elisha. Elisha is, by this time, is breathing his last few breaths. Elisha, in this time, he's seen the rise and the fall of many kings, and he's seen the evil kings rise and the evil kings fall. He's even seen some men of God rise and some men of God fall. And King Jehoash, not the most righteous king on the planet, approaches Elisha in Elisha's final stages of his life and says, and basically is saying, we need help. Israel is being attacked by the Syrians. Israel is being attacked by our enemy. We need a breakthrough. Elisha, off his deathbed, gets up. I love the spirit and the attitude of Elisha, don't you? Elisha, even though he's sick, even though he's got something going on in his life, even though his circumstances don't necessarily line up with his belief in who God is, Elisha is still a man that did not let his circumstances dictate to how he might be used by God. Don't you love that? Oh, friend, that'll preach right there. No matter what you're going through, no matter if they said it's terminal or not, no matter if the bank is saying the word bankrupt, it doesn't matter how final the world's word is over your life. You and I need to have open hearts to say, God, as long as there is breath inside of me, there is still a purpose that must be fulfilled. As long as, God, I'm still alive, I might be lying on this bed that I'm going to die. But God, as long as there's a breath in me, you can still use me. And Elisha says to King Joash, he gets up out of his bed and he grabs the king. We can understand historically that this king would have had some training in shooting a bow and arrow. History would suggest, my study would suggest, that he would have had probably more experience than the prophet Elisha. But Elisha says, go and get an arrow. Joash gets an arrow. Elisha says, go open the window. Joash opens the window. And then something amazing happens. Elisha comes and he puts his hands on the hands of the king. He says, are you ready? Get ready to shoot. We're about to release something. We're about to release something. We're about to release something into the atmosphere that's going to bring about a change, not just for you, but it's going to bring about a change for your entire generation. Are you ready for that? See, friend, the thing about this is we've got to be a people that understand that what we have in our hands is pretty good. What we have in our hands is fantastic. But when we have what we have in our hands, if we go and then put it in the man of God's hands, it's like a picture of putting what we have, our skills, our abilities, our talents, our qualifications, who
we are, what we do, our children, our finances, the very things that God has blessed us with, the talents and the abilities that we carry in our life. Joash understood that it's much more powerful, even though I may be more trained than the man of God. In my hands, it's just an arrow shooting out of a window. But in God's hands, it's the arrow of victory that's going to bring down an entire army. Come on, somebody. In my hands, that arrow may shoot forth and just strike one person. But in God's hands, that arrow has enough power to bring down an entire army. Come on, this should make you happy right now. I just wonder what you've got in your life. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's your career. Friend, I want to tell you, we've got to get this same revelation that in our hands, it's powerful. But in God's hands, that potential and power exponentially grows. In our hands, things get smaller, but in God's hands, things multiply. In our hands, things stop, but in God's hands, things continue to increase. In our hands, when there's a downturn in the economy, our finances, our businesses, our careers generally follow the downturn of the economy. But in God's hands, we don't live by the same economy the world lives. We live by a supernatural economy. We live by the Word of God. In God's hands, in our hands, things are limited by our ability. In God's hands, things are limited only by His ability. And friend, I've got good news for you today. God has no limit upon Him. In our hands, things are impossible. Oh my goodness. But in God's hands, nothing is impossible. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you got in your hands right now. But you and I have an opportunity to take that thing that's in our hands and place it into the hands of God. This is exactly what Joseph did with his dream. Circumstances didn't look like too good for Joseph, the great dreamer. But Joseph's dream and the outcome of his life was not determined by the circumstances he found himself in. He stayed true and focused upon that thing that God had put in his heart until he became one of the most powerful men in all the earth at that time. I also think about other biblical characters. One in particular that comes to mind is David. You know David? David, he's that little shepherd boy that brought down Goliath. You remember the story? The story goes that Saul, the whole army, there was a standoff between the Philistines and the Israelites. Goliath was taunting and intimidating the children of Israel. They were wrapped up in so much fear. David rocks up. He's just like the pizza delivery guy for his brothers. And he rocks up with his kind of pizza heart, cheese, melted cheese crust pizza for his brothers. And he rocks up and he can't believe what's happened. He looks at that Goliath. And I can tell David's not looking with natural eyes. David's looking with eyes that have been set ablaze with the glory of God. Do you remember what David says? David says, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Notice, Saul tried to put his armor on David. Saul tried to say, "Hey, this is how it's done. This is how the mightiest of men have battled these fights." And David puts it on and realizes that this isn't his jam. This isn't the way that he's been anointed. This isn't the way that God's used him. And so David says, respectfully, "Thank you, King, but no thank you. I've just got 5 stones and a sling. But those 5 stones and a sling in man's hands will never bring down a giant. But those 5 stones and a sling in God's hands are enough to bring about a breakthrough for an entire nation." See, I don't know, maybe you can sing, maybe you've got some sort of talent. Friend, be someone that submits that to God. Says, God, here it is. You can just be a singer and you might get in iTunes in the top 10 or whatever. That's fantastic if you do. But friend, that gift placed in the hands of God, you may never get to iTunes. You may do that too. That's all good. But God might use your voice to penetrate and move atmospheres over people's lives, over situations, over nations, friend. We've got to be a people like Joash that say, I'm going to submit to the anointing of my God. It goes on, and we know the story, but it goes on and says, he basically says, I want you to take an arrow. He grabs an arrow. Now, you and I, we know that arrows are made for shooting. Arrows are made to be shot. They're not made to be struck on the ground. But how many know sometimes God uses unusual methods to bring about unusual miracles? The problem is our religious heart and our religious mind, and sometimes a heart that gets hard to God. God's methods sometimes are so strange and so interesting and so contrary to human wisdom that sometimes God's methods are so interesting and out there for us that we dismiss them as not God at all. Like for example, God's got these two guys, Apostle and Paul, and they're in prison. And the last thing that you probably would feel like doing in prison is praising, but God's got unusual methods of delivering his power into a place. And in that case, it was praise. Elisha commands the king. He says, I want you to go and I want you to strike the ground. Some of the commentaries and different things that I read suggest that maybe the only reason, or maybe one of the reasons why Jehoash didn't strike the ground more than three times is because maybe he thought, hey, I'm too good for this. Don't you know I'm a king? This is not the behavior that a king should have. This is how dare you, Elisha, you're on your deathbed anyway. How dare you expect me to strike the ground and to behave in such a way? And the Bible says that he only strikes the ground three times. And therefore, the Bible says, he, according to his persistence and his expectation, that directly measures up to the breakthrough that he received. I was just talking to Pastor Tim Hall out there, and he was just saying that one of the thoughts that he had around this whole passage of scripture that he's preached somewhere is that he asked the question, how bad did Jehoash the king want it? In direct parallel to Elijah and Elisha, Elisha said, I'm not going to leave this place until I receive a double portion anointing. I don't know if you know of the rest of the story, but Elisha ends up dying and taking his anointing to the grave. No anointing that God puts on a person is meant to end up in the grave. Maybe if Jehoash the king just had the persistence and the hunger to be a man that said, I'm going to keep striking the ground, maybe the anointing wouldn't have gone to the grave with Elisha. Maybe the anointing would have raised up Jehoash as a king and a prophet in that land, bringing about the will of the kingdom of God. How bad do you want it, friend? How bad do you want it? And Elisha, Jehoash strikes the ground three times. In a moment, what we're going to do right now is a prophetic act. Because I believe that, even last weekend, as powerful it was, there's been a contention over the release of heaven over our church. You know, the enemy wants us to just settle down and wants us to just be comfortable Another theory about Jehoash is that maybe Jehoash was just like, well, hey, hang on a minute. I've got a victory. I've already got victory over Aram, so that's all good. I'm saved. Come on. I'm going to heaven. Why do I need to keep pressing in? I'm covered by grace, and God's so good, and bills are paid, and good things are happening in my life. And that is exactly what the spirit of this age wants to put in the spirit of the people of God. But friend, I'm here today on this prophetic assignment saying, come on, we've got to rise up and not be like King Jehoash, but we've got to rise up and be like a people possessed by the Spirit of God that say, God, I'm not going to stop pressing in until I see a breakthrough from heaven. Are there any people in this church that say, I want to have that same spirit? I'm not going to stop until my friends are off drugs. I'm not going to stop until my high school is saved. Come on, boomers. I'm not going to stop. I know I've approached my school for a prayer group before. They've rejected me. Come on, Planet Uni. I tried to start something in my university. I've tried reaching out to my friends, but I got rejected. Oh, friend, don't stop on the third strike. Keep going. Come on, is there anyone in this auditorium that says, I'm prepared to do something a little bit out of the ordinary? I'm prepared to do something that religion does not expect. I'm prepared to do something with my life. I'm prepared to go beyond just the normal expectation of just being at church. I'm prepared to be someone that doesn't just strike the ground three times. It was like complacency and comfort kick in all at the same time. And I just wonder how many breakthroughs we've missed because we stopped at three. I just wonder just how many times we've got so close, and God's a God of grace, and He always guides our path, and all things work together for good. Amen, amen, amen. But come on, now's a time for us to keep pressing in. Now is not a time for us to kind of go into cruise control and think this is all good and God's good. See, maybe that same spirit that the king had can come on us, and we can think, wow, we've got a big church. We've got a new building. Things are good. God's good, I'm saved, I got a breakthrough in that area, fantastic. I got a victory over Aram, awesome. 1, 2, 3, God's good. And every weekend we come to church, and I'm just doing this to stir you up, not to be critical at all. But I'm here to expose a religious spirit that can creep in to pastors, leaders, every single person on the planet. See, friend, and we come to church and we bring our arrow. The New Testament version of the arrow is the cross. Why? Because the arrow, Elisha said that this is the arrow of victory. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. Everything is under His feet and our feet because of the cross. You and I live in complete victory. We dominate the spiritual atmosphere when we choose to in faith in Jesus' name. We live in victory, but some of us, we can just approach church, we can just approach God like 1, 2, 3, and then move on. But I really believe that God in this time is raising up a generation of Christians, a people in the city of Melbourne. There are some people at home watching online right now, and there's something stirring in your spirit to say, I'm not going to be that person that stops on three. I'm not going to be that person that just strikes the ground a few times. I'm going to be that person that rises up with the Spirit of God and perseveres and persists and says, God, yes, for my generation. See, whenever there's resistance, this is what happens. We think because there's resistance, maybe we're going down the wrong path. But the enemy that I know is still trying to oppose the work of God. And friend, the key to us seeing a breakthrough, the key to you seeing a breakthrough in your home, see a breakthrough in your life, the key to busting down that resistance, breaking through that resistance, is when you and I become a people of persistence. God, I won't stop, Jacob said, until you bless me. Jesus says, just go and wait in Jerusalem in the upper room. 500 went into that upper room. Only 120 people had the persistence that outweighed the resistance. God, I'm not leaving this place until what you promised me comes to pass. And in a moment, we're going to do a prophetic act. In fact, in the last few services, there were so many miracles that happened. Someone texted me from NEC in the second service and they were watching a video version of that. But we had a real breakthrough in the second service and people were just going for it, saying, I'm going to break through. I'm not going to let this hindrance be something that stops me from going for more of God. And someone texted me, said, hey, you released finances into the atmosphere. I just felt the Holy Spirit say to release finances, a miracle of finances. Someone in that moment was given $1,000. It's a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough in this house. Now listen to me. This isn't about getting $1,000. Don't hear me wrong. This is about honoring the word of God that is spoken over our church. This is about honoring the prophetic word that we're in a year of peace and prosperity. This is about saying, you know what? I haven't seen that in my life, but I'm not going to allow my circumstances to dictate my praise. I'm not going to allow my circumstances to cause me to be someone that steps back in fear. I'm not going to allow the illness that's in my body to be something that causes me to step back. I'm going to be someone that strikes the ground, not one time, not two times, not three times. I'm not going to be someone that stops on three, but I'm believing that I can bring about a breakthrough, not just for me, but for my entire generation. This strike in the ground is not just about me, but it's about my workplace. It's about my family. It's about my friends. It's about my high school. It's about my university. Strike the ground.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray that you were truly blessed by what you heard. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.